Thank you, Jared. It's about to get really ugly between now and November. We're going to hear all sorts of nasty things about everything that somebody ever thought about doing that's running for president. And they're running mates. And I'm not going to be the one to tell you who to vote for. I will say that we ought to always vote our Christian conscience. And that's all I'm going to say about running folks. But what happens after the election's over? There's where we need to think about for a few minutes. When the election's over, what then? Some of us are going to be sad that so-and-so didn't win. Some of us are going to be jumping up and down that such-and-such won. Whoever wins or loses, some are happy, some are sad, some are ecstatic, some are just depressed. It's always that way. But for the Christian, there's things that we need to consider as we ponder the next few couple. It's actually a couple months, September, October, November. When the election's over, we need to renew our trust in God's sovereignty. Doesn't matter who wins, who loses. God is in control. We need to get back to that understanding that it doesn't matter who's in authority as far as men go, because the prime authority, the everlasting authority, the overall top of the line authority rests with God himself. In Daniel chapter 2 and verse 21, Daniel would write, "He changes the times and season. He removes kings and raises up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding." All that comes from God. God is in control. Let's never think he's not. If you'll turn with me to Romans chapter 13, Paul speaks of this same idea of control. And I think sometimes we don't consider authority, not God's authority, but man's authority. Where does man get his authority? Well, what little we have comes from God anyway. In Romans chapter 13 and verse 1, Paul would write, "Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. And the authorities that exist are appointed by God." He speaks to God's sovereignty even in his dealing with the affairs of men. Verse 2, "Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinances of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of authority? Do what is good, and you'll have the praise of the same. For he is God's minister to you for good. For if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain, for he is God's minister and avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil." Beyond the evil and the good of it all, if without God's providence, a man doesn't get to be present. Without God's providence, we don't get to do a beat a lot of things. Without God's providence, what do we have? Not a lot. Blind luck. Jesus has the ultimate authority as far as the church goes. Matthew 28, verse 18. "All authority has been given to me," he says, "in heaven and in earth. He's head over all things," Ephesians 1 and verse 20 and 22. "He's King of kings and Lords of lords," in 1 Timothy 6, 15. "Ruler over the kings of the earth," Revelation chapter 1, verse 5. Jesus is all those things. He is our ruler, no matter who's king, no matter who's president, no matter who's the top of the human stack, Jesus still is Lord of lords and King of kings. So we must give our trust into the sovereignty of God and to his son. Romans 8, 28, we know that all things work together for good, don't we? Isn't that what that passage says? All things work together for good to those who love the Lord, to those who are called according to his purpose. Well, if Romans 8, 28 is true, then does it really matter who gets to be president or who doesn't? All things work together for good to those that love the Lord. If God is for us, who can be against us? Romans 8, verse 31 and following. Nothing shall separate us from the love of God. Romans 8, verse 35 and following. So no matter what rulers may do, good or bad, we're in God's hands. He is our safety anchor. So after the election's over, we need to affirm our citizenship. We need to reaffirm our citizenship in heaven. If God is our ruler, if God is our king, if Jesus is Lord of Lords and King of Kings, then our citizenship still remains in heaven, not here. We're just passing through this place. The words that were written by Albert Brumley, this world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. That's the same with for all of us. We need to render our service to the King of our heavenly home. Need to refocus our primary mission. What's our primary mission? It's not worried about who got elected, who didn't. Our primary mission is the cause of Christ, isn't it? I wonder if sometimes people put as much effort and time into evangelizing as they do electionalizing. I'm not sure if that's a word or not, but you know what I mean. We talk about politics. Of course, there's two things we don't like to talk about. That's religion and politics, but we talk about them anyway. Sometimes we pay more attention to politics than we do to religion. Sometimes we pay more attention to who we want to win the election, who we want to win the fight and win the argument, instead of who we need to be talking to about the church and about the gospel and about salvation, etc. We need to be putting more time into the mission of the church, mission and cause of Christ, than we do other things. So once the election's over, we need to refocus on that primary mission. Get our priorities squared back again. Got to refocus on the efforts of the gospel. Mark 16, verse 15 and 16. What does it say? Go take the gospel to all creatures. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned. We know that passage backwards and forwards almost. Matthew 28, 18, verses 20. We know that passage as well, the Great Commission. But yet we fall down on it sometimes and we're not as active as we are in other things in our lives. So we need to get refocused. Refocus our efforts on the gospel and its message and its cause. And just before the election takes place this year, we have a gospel meeting lectureship coming up, and we need to be about inviting a lot of folks to that. So we have a house full. And no doubt the Sojourners are going to help us fill the house. They always do, bless their little hearts. Weren't for the Sojourners over at Camp B, we'd have a half a house full or less. But let's focus on our efforts on inviting everybody we can and make efforts, gospel teaching efforts, as much as possible. When the election's over, we need to resume our roles as peacemakers. Peacemakers? Don't we serve the King of Peace? We ought to be peacemakers. Didn't Jesus say, blessed are the peacemakers? We ought to be peacemakers. We serve the Prince of Peace as foretold in Isaiah chapter 9. We serve the Prince of Peace that's guarded by the heavenly host in Luke 2. And we serve the one who died to make peace between men. We sometimes forget that Jesus died to make peace between factions of men, mankind. There was a Jew and there was everybody else. And he died to make peace between those men, those human beings. And if we're called to be sons of peace, sons of God, and peacemakers, Matthew 5 and verse 9, we love our enemies and bless those who even hate us, Matthew 5, verse 43, displaying wisdom that comes from above, James chapter 3. See, all these passages talk to us about the way we should be and the way our focus should be and where we ought to be directing our minds and thoughts. And sometimes the things of this world just get in the way. They take priority. And I'm not making short of or making small of the fact that it's an important part. We live in a country and we're so blessed to be able to have a part in electing those who would rule over us, whether it be local government or national government. And that's not a small thing. But let's not let it take us away from what we need to be focused on, and that's the work of the Lord and work of the church. 1 Timothy chapter 6 at verse 13, if you'll go there with me, this is the last passage for the evening. 1 Timothy chapter 6 at verse 13. Paul would write to young Timothy, I urge you in the sight of God who gives life to all things and before Christ Jesus who witnessed the good confession before Pontius Pilate, that you keep this commandment without spot, blameless until our Lord Christ's appearance, which he will manifest his own in his own time. He who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, who alone has immortality, dwelling in unapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see, to whom be honor and everlasting power. Amen. With those thoughts in mind, it really doesn't matter, as I said earlier, who wins, who doesn't win. God is still in control. Jesus is still our King. And we go on, and we ought to go on being about the work of the King, doing our best to take the gospel to everybody that we can possibly take the gospel to, regardless of what else goes on in our country, in our local area. Could it come to a point where it's persecution for those who want to talk about the gospel? I can tell you it probably will. This whole world seems like it's headed to a place where it's not a good thing in most people's sight to talk about the church and about things like that and about the gospel and about those things that the Bible condemns. Should that stop us? No. Shouldn't stop us at all. Need to keep on keeping on. That's your lesson. I hope it's encouraging to you. I hope it's given you some things to think about in the next few months, that we're going to be taken over by all this political hoopla. And it happens that way every 4 years. And that's okay. But let's not let it cause us to lose our focus, to lose our fight, and to lose our cause. The song that's been chosen tonight, song number, if I can find it again, 911, Bring Christ Your Broken Life. If you're so minded to do that, this is a good time. If you're a mind to start your life out on a new foot, beginning now, this very minute, this very hour, this is the time to do that. If there's a calling on your heart, if there's a need in your life, whatever that may be, if this congregation of believers can help you with that, this is the time to make that known while we stand together and sing. Number 911.